Saturday morning when I was growing up, aside from watching cartoons, I suppose, my mom used to listen to her tape deck collection. And for those of you who are probably a third or a half of you or so that don't know what an 8-track is, like I said in class this morning, there's always people. But she was listening to the 8-track collection. And some of that music, some of you will probably be familiar with. That's where I found out that, you know, part of the movie development pictures were shooting similar to volleyball. Guy Carlton had been working 9 to 5. And every boy got their bass player to go in Papa Mama. And some of you who got cards to younger people, that's what they were talking about when he told them. How he ever did that, you know, one of the things I wanted to be when I grew up, I wanted to be the bass player because he was in Papa Mama. I can't believe they got to make some other great bass over and over again, but whatever. Another favorite group of my mother's, and you know, what you actually would listen to, was the Statler Brothers. Do you remember the Statler Brothers? They became famous for the song Flowers on the Wall. And that was supposed to be a John Clark song, I don't know if you knew that. Johnny Clark was actually the first to record that song. And the reason I'm not sure, I'm sure somebody knows, he didn't make it to the studio that day. And I don't know how the difference in these studios worked, but the Statler Brothers recorded it instead. And it actually became their highest charting hit of all time. Now, I remember that song because there were a lot of memorable lines in it, and the chorus was particularly memorable. But if you don't know the song, I'll give you a turnaround here. I'll give you a couple of minutes to view of what the song is about. The song is strange because it's written about 1954 and 1955, and so definitely a different age than the age we're currently living in. But what the song is about, if I was curious that when the song is about a girl going out, the girls are the wife and the girlfriend is going out with the gals, and the guy is going to be left at home alone with nothing to do. And it's a fantastic song about don't you worry about me going on a good time, I've got plenty to do. And the plenty to do that he had while waiting for her to get home was counting the flowers on the wall paper. And smoking cigarettes and walking past the kangaroos. And playing 5 carats bond with a drop of 51. That line about playing solitaire. Still bond with a drop of 51 made no sense to me that because there were 2 things I didn't understand. Number one, solitaire. Didn't have a clue. Number two, I don't know how many cards were in a different card. So that line was lost on me in the comments. I'm glad you know I do understand it now. But speaking of it, another place out there, there was a card missing. When you get to the end, when you realize you're missing that final card, how frustrating is that? What's the other people's going like? They might want to. Well, now it's an overflowing private school puzzle for a public. And we worked a bunch of those puzzles. And actually, there's very nostalgic to it, not for COVID. But if you go to the challenges and the puzzles, and every once in a while, we'll look at each other and we'll say, we should do another puzzle. And for some reason, we've never been able to get back to it. But as we've got some puzzles and started them and not finished them, at least over the last year or two. We still have a lot of puzzles that we can dream about from once in a while. But it's frustrating to get a 1,000 new puzzles and get the 9-1-1 and you can't find the last piece, isn't it? That's incredibly frustrating. You would miss that if you weren't getting it, wouldn't you? I mean, given the choice between 5-1-1 and 999 pieces of a 1,000 piece puzzle, but you know that the passage says a 12-course money does in Romans 5 is peace. That's the key word. Peace. Having been justified by faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace. Having been justified, having been means that it wasn't always that way, but at some point in time, it began to be that way, and it continues to be that way. In fact, in English, it's so much harder to express it. Having been, it's about the best approximation we can get in English. And you don't have to be a Greek scholar, I certainly not. But even understanding this point in English helps us to realize that Paul is talking about something that didn't used to be, it came into being, and it continues to be. In fact, he finds in this text, he uses the fact that he used to get multiple times throughout the text, but two times he talks about justification in the first 11 verses of chapter 5. Having been justified. Word, then word, and continue to be, and if you were to write that out, maybe a symbolic language on the board and a math problem, then you would go equals, we have, and continue to have, peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having been justified then at the end of the passage, not only that, we shall be saved and will forever remain in the state of being saved from wrath. This letter that Paul wrote to the saints living in Rome, written by Paul, was written on a subject that they have been very familiar with, the subject of peace. Now, if the Roman civilization, of course, there are a variety of iterations of Roman society, a variety of iterations of governmental forms that have existed in Rome over the years. So we're not going to play out all of that here, but Rome, in the days of Paul, Rome in the days of Christ, it was known for one thing, it was war. So the idea that it would be known for peace seemed kind of funny. Rome was a bit of a brutal time to live in. But they wanted to be known, they wanted to be known for peace. It's kind of like the world that was making a moment ago. You know, but the actions of the war, that is roughly 50%. All of the tactical stuff, all of the background stuff, all of the planning, all of the injuries, all of that is part of any battle or any war for that matter. The other half is PR. The other half is narrative. It's about how it's being portrayed. And so they wanted to be portrayed a certain way. They wanted to be known for peace. And I think they meant that it wasn't just a propaganda piece. They wanted to be known for peace. But there's another thing that Christians are seeing in this letter. When here Paul used this word, peace. We have peace. You have peace. Peace. But there have been Christians that heard this. That the interpretation of the word that would identify the concept of peace with the the land in which they lived, the government under which they lived, because Rome paid for a lot of things, not the least of which is the fact of the quality of beasts. The peace that Rome brings to the world by governance. The peace policy of Rome was pretty straightforward. It's not our job as well. It's not unlike, I think, what is at the core of U.S. global policy as well. Although we heard in that book in Times More or less, which stuff I heard from Dollar Tree, the idea of peace through strength, which is the purpose. In other words, you know, if you black belt yourself up enough, people will probably leave you alone. And they may leave your allies alone too. That is your own idea. They would wonder to block that themselves, to clothe themselves with such power and such strength and such reach that it would preempt the idea of people rebelling against them. And thus, peace. Where was the master in the ancient world, at least for some good portion of its history, whether a show of force deterrence, or maybe put it more concisely, of the policy of intimidation. There was really nothing that Rome wouldn't do. No lengths to which Rome wouldn't go to intimidate and to deter. You know, some of you I know or have been NASCAR fans. And I wasn't always a NASCAR fan. I was a NASCAR fan. I watched NASCAR very closely for about a decade or about 12 years. From the early 2000s until, well, my favorite driver retired, and I was Emma Martin. And I still watched for a little while, and then with Tony Stewart and Jeff Gordon and all those guys retired and Dale Jr., I kind of stopped watching. I didn't like to play off them anyway, so we used to watch. So it was a bunch of races. But even though I wasn't a fan when I was a kid, I mean, everybody knew number two and number three. Everybody knew Rusty Wallace and Dale Earnhardt. They probably the person on the planet where the television world didn't know who Dale Earnhardt was. The first NASCAR race I ever watched, in fact, the first NASCAR race in my life, we were able to do some things from high school, and my little boy was having his first birthday, his birthday February 18th. Because his first birthday was February 18th, 2000. The first race we ever watched was the last race they won all the races. Yeah, I knew this. I knew this from the time I was a kid. The Intimidator. I didn't believe there was a job in there. But he was an incredible driver in his own right. He had a vision and a way of driving and a way of carrying himself that was just different. But he was incredibly forceful, too. You did not want to see Dale in the rear view mirror. You'd rather they were in the race. It was much easier. The psychological warfare of Dale Earnhardt was half the mystery. And it was no mystery, it just really was. And so he would turn me into the wall and talk about it in a very brief interview like it was just another day at the office. And you can turn him into a wall. Because Bill had a short temper and a long memory. And he was thank you. So if you turned him into the wall, he would hold that grudge pretty much there. And so why would that not?
they had some idea of their own safety. They had some idea that maybe there was a wife or children back home, and maybe I'll just let out the throttle a little bit here and let them go. And Gaius didn't have that. He was always in the car in the moment. So the tricks that other people have, where we call them to think twice, that switch was turned off in this moment when he got in the car. He was unmerciful, and he lived by that code. And he obviously was great, but as a fan, he had to get run and run, and many people get out of his way because it was. The way you do the craft, like in a car, like a tech piece, or whatever you want to say, you get dominant races and getting people to catch. You just run on so many levels. But the heart code that you drove by and you live by, and you never seem to waver from that code. And not everybody appreciated that, but everyone, even Rusty Rollins and a lot of other people. Everyone respected it because that's the way he always works. Roman had a NASCAR equivalent of Rome. Rome had no rock slide. And at the centerpiece was a no mercy policy of pre-existing in instances of sedition or treason. They weren't afraid. This was no joke. This was the lifestyle of Roman power, and the symbol, the ultimate symbol of power, is not just that we're going to put you to death. That would have been enough, you would think. Crucifixion wasn't this death. The death penalty is. It wasn't sort of eternal. But it only worked on people being respect their own life. If you don't respect your own life, the death penalty is not a death. It's an elevation of status, not a divinity. Paul was a Roman citizen. That's why when he ended up in Rome, which is all the couple of times we believe. That's why when he ends up in Rome, he's not crucified, he's beheaded in Rome because he's a citizen. So that is merciful. The crucifixion was one of the right ideas. Seneca said, which was slow death. Crucifixion was prolonged death. It was not merely death by the bludgeoning or as the whipping or the scourging, although some people did die as a result of the scourging. People would have to be dragged to the cross after the scourging. There was hardly any place of flesh on the body that remained untouched in the scourging. Just absolutely brutalized. And to think that what some people like our Lord would carry the cross and the skirting is just unbelievable. We're not in the grand scheme of things, we're not afraid of God. We check out of this world in the moment, it's nobody wants to go. I don't recall if it's an old friend, but I heard it some of the time from Toledo, like Toledo, but nobody wants to go now. To leave in an instant, in a moment, seems pretty merciful. We're not in that afraid of that, but we do feel the need. We do feel the need always and every day. We do feel having our dignity stolen from us like a thief in the night. We do feel suffering for a prolonged period of time.
the problem with crucifixion is that God would be on mercy and it's slow in time. So Rome doesn't mean that you force the law so that peace could prevail in the kingdom. But it didn't make us out of it. It wasn't real peace, or at least it wasn't lasting peace. What they had to do to obtain the peace had to keep happening over and over again. It didn't see any small fixing. It wasn't linear. It wasn't like all of it. It was cyclical. The impersonal process had to be repeated. The battles had to be waged over and over again. More people had to be crucified for more threats to be established. When peace ruled over here for a little while, the disturbance would rise up over there. And then when this disturbance would turn into peace, then we had to turn our attention over here to this one. And the cycle continued over and over again. And then enough people felt the edge of the sword, or the pain of the curb, or the humiliation of crucifixion, and then there was peace again for a while, until there wasn't. I wonder how long the nation could keep something like that up. 100 years. 100 years. We're about to mark in July 250 years. We're pondering on this planet. Rome was really walking that continuum. Rome was nearly 8 centuries when Jesus walked the earth. The pyramids were old when Abraham saw them. 100 years old. Peace is not linear in this world. Peace isn't the thing we're moving toward in this world. I mean, that's the problem that humanity under the sun never forgets. Rome thought that they were moving in a direction. Give me 4 centuries. Give me 5. Give me 8. Give me, if I understand the history of Rome, give me 14 centuries of Roman power and deterrence. And eventually, along that course, along that line of history, we'll get there. With enough time, with enough show of force, with enough intimidation, of men's the sword, on the tree, we'll get it. People will finally bow. We'll finally get this utopia that we've been aiming for. Oh, so look at the utopia that the Sumerians wanted, and that the Babylonians wanted, and that the Assyrians wanted. They all felt so, but we'll get it. If we talk about it for today, we're on our way to utopia. It's the process along the line that we get with this line, we get that line. We'll arrive one day at the utopia. There's a book that I read a number of years ago, and it's not recently come to mind, but I was reading a review of that book, an article, just in that week. And I was reminded of what was in the book, and I'm not going to do it on the detail of what we see in the book. The main thrust of the book is a thick book, smart document. The thrust of the book was, Will Reese. I think I don't mean to look at the nose of what you do. But if you can find this in the book, if you can get skill from that, you can do more.
we're all moving in this linear fashion toward just getting better and better. Closer to Jesus. Closer to the children. That's what Rome was doing. The problem with the thinking is that we already know from history and from the Word of God that worldly peace isn't linear, it's cyclical. It comes in those examples. Little practice samples, slightly bigger practice, big practice. Some of them we see it and we move through it at their happening. Things rise and fall. Some of them come over generations and centuries. They're all examples. And what we're really doing is, we're looking at the same thing. We're keeping the same down the road. But the problem with keeping the end down the road is that we're still on the same road. And we're going to have to get the end again. And if you can keep it really far, you can make people think, you can make people believe that the end is gone. It's really there. It's someone else that's like a dealer, it's not you. We all have to put the end again. And there we thought we had it. We thought we had it for good. We thought we had it far enough. And then it comes back. It's probably, the solitary from God. And that is what you want. Only then you can do a start early. It's like putting together a thousand people. The 900, the 99 pieces. You know, the word that Paul used here in Romans 5, that word peace. You know what it means? It's the state of condition when all the pieces are put together. What Paul is here is that God viewed the Roman cross to bring out to the peace. He has the joy of playing with the whole deck. The comfort of having all of the pieces he posts in Christ. And he didn't do it with self force. He didn't do it for intimidation, but for the show of love. And the beauty that we have in Christ. The truth that the Spirit of God had in Christ is that no matter what happens out there, no matter what happens in the little things of our own world, no matter how hard the living here ever gets, and it does, because we have been given. And keep on receiving your peace in Christ and being used to it. But then when we submitted to Christ and obeyed the gospel, we then became the Roman justified in Him and walked in Him, we continue to be in Him. So no matter how hard it ever gets, no matter how difficult life ever is, because we have been given a gift in Christ, and because we keep on receiving that gift, we have His peace. We get all the pieces of the puzzle. We get all parts of the gift. That's real peace. A peace that doesn't have to frustratingly start again over and over and over. It's not cyclical. It is linear. And not only is it linear, it gets greater as we go along. The vision of what is coming comes more perfectly into view And the view of that glory gets greater and greater and greater as we walk along the path, because our Lord did not just depend on the road. He was eliminated the pain altogether. There is no more picking it back up. There is no more scrolling into it again. There is no need anymore to find peace all over again, because in Christ we have it. We have it.
He allows the God to want. We get to vulnerability. We get to vulnerability in Christ. And we keep on thanking God for the peace that actually understanding. And until that day, until one day, there's the peace of God with all. Why? With the world so deserved to peace. With the Christ, with the one who is real. I don't need to play in power with it. With it. I'm going to keep working on it. But that can be Jesus. Then you're only ever going to get that answer. And what you need. It's what it is. It's what it is. It's what it is. It's what it is. I'm going to be the most involved in the world.